Thank you, Ross. What a privilege.
Well, good morning. It is a pleasure for me to be with you this morning. And did I understand correctly, this is the 25th time that this conference has convened. And that's a wonderful testimony in itself. And we have been blessed and encouraged already this morning, haven't we? The Godward privileges and responsibilities that we have are indeed great. And it's hard work. But this morning we're thankful that we have been promised His presence and His help and His guidance as we exercise our responsibilities and privileges. Thank you, Mr. Rainey, for sharing, confronting us again with these great truths. And may each of us be encouraged as we seek to serve the Lord in our assemblies that are represented here this morning. Great opportunity for me to share with you some of the things that have been happening in the Philippines. We have been involved in the Philippines now for 15 years, and I want to share with you just a brief testimony how we got from point A to point B, because if you were to ask me 15 years ago, or 20 years ago, or even 30 years ago, there would be no way that I would be sharing anything about the Philippines. I had absolutely no desire. And I don't say that with any degree of pride, but it just shows you how the Lord can take a young man and with the encouragement of brothers and sisters in home assemblies and the influence of the Lord working in that life, what the Lord can do. And I would encourage each and every one of you as you return to your home assembly that you encourage your young people. I'm ever so thankful for one particular brother in a home assembly back in Buffalo who just kind of took me under his wing, and I'm sure had no idea that perhaps it would lead ultimately to the Philippines, but just the challenge that was laid in his heart to take me under his wing, I'm ever so grateful this morning. And I want to encourage you to consider the same as you work with your young people. I was born and raised, and I'm thankful for the opportunity to be involved in the assemblies in Buffalo, New York. That's where we fellowshiped, the assembly hall, Elmwood Gospel Chapel, and that has long now since closed. And it combined with Berkshire Avenue Chapel there in Buffalo, and now that's closed, but the work is still continuing because that assembly moved into the suburbs of Buffalo, is now Amherst Bible Chapel. I'm thankful, too, for godly grandparents and godly parents who nurtured and reared me in the things of the Lord as a young man. I was saved at Camp Lailolai. I'm a real believer in the ministry of camp work, and it was under the ministry of David Stifler. As a young boy of 8 years old, I came to know the Lord during my time at camp. And I really thought the Lord would have us be involved in camp work, for after receiving my formal education at the State University College at Buffalo, and having secured a teaching job, we moved out to the New England area, and desiring to be involved in camp work, found satisfaction in working with young people at Camp Berea. And it was during the time of being at Camp Berea that I met my wife, who was then operating as a camp nurse. I won't go into how we met, but the Lord brought us together. And in 1974, we were married. So we're in our 25th year of marriage. And but camp work was a real important part of our life. In fact, being involved as a teacher gave us the summers free. And we really thought the Lord was molding and shaping our lives to be involved with the ministry at Camp Berea. But you know, in 1980, we were confronted with the possibility that I was going to lose my teaching job. There were some interesting things happening in the legislature in Massachusetts, and I was confronted with the possibility that I might lose my job. And it was facing that potential that caused our hearts and minds to think about, well, if I did lose my job, where might the Lord have us be involved? And it was thinking about that question that got Mary and I on our knees before the Lord. And the thing that kept coming to the surface is, or was, being involved in missionary education. And the only school, I know that there are many out there, but the only school that kept coming to the surface even more often was the ministry that was happening at Faith Academy. And we look back on that, and we know why. One of the main contributors to that school being brought to the surface time in and time out was the missionaries that would come and speak at our local assembly. By and large, it was the Brooks family, Cyril and Anna Brooks, Ken and Elaine Brooks, Len and Esther Brooks involved in the ministry there. And they would always talk about this school. And so when the time came in our lives when we were looking at what the Lord might have us be involved in, we took the initiative and wrote to Cyril Brooks. And Cyril passed that letter on to the superintendent at Faith Academy, and they wrote right back and said, look, would you come out and teach math or science? Because we don't have an opening in your area, which is industrial technology or industrial arts. Well, we thought the Lord was perhaps closing that door a little bit because I wasn't certified or qualified to teach any one of those areas, but I thought I could do the job, but the Lord didn't open that door at that point. And that was in 1980. But you know, Faith Academy didn't lose that letter of interest. They pulled that letter out in 1984 and contacted us again and said, look, we have an opening in industrial arts. Would you come and teach for a couple of years? We've got a teacher who's doing a year of furlough and then would like to do some language work. And we filled out that application and we talked to the elders at Andover Bible Chapel. And in July of 1985, we were on our way to the Philippines for a two-year period of time. I took a leave of absence from my teaching job. And during those 2 years that we were in the Philippines, the Lord did some wonderful things in our thinking and the wonderful things in our lives and really got us infected with what a tremendous opportunity it is to work with the children of missionaries. So we went out in 1985. We were there for 2 years. Because it was a short-term missionary experience, the commendation was only for 2 years, so we came back. But we came back trusting that the Lord would open the door for us to return, and that happened in 1989. We went back in a little different capacity. I went back as the assistant high school principal and activities coordinator, and then in 1990 stepped into the office of high school principal, and that's where I have been involved in since that time. This is a time where we have been home this year, reconnecting with friends and family, reconnecting with our young people, our kids. We have three children, three adult children. Our oldest was a 1995 graduate of Faith Academy, Heather, and she was never one that really enjoyed the things of school, but she has come home and has found great satisfaction in the ministry at Emmaus Bible College and is presently involved in the kitchen as a cook, or at least an assistant cook. Several weeks ago, we were able to join with her and see some of the things that she's doing. We were on her turf, and that was an enjoyable experience for Mary and I. David, our middle son, Lord willing, will graduate in a couple of months from John Brown University in Siloam Springs, a sound Christian school in Arkansas. And he is studying graphic design. And then our youngest is a second-year student at John Brown University, and she is studying sports medicine. So it's been great to be home this year. As much as we miss the ministry and things happening at Faith Academy, it's been great to be home to reconnect with our kids. We're also spending time with my mom and dad, who are elderly and health-wise have some concerns, so it's been good to be with them and help them. They're located in New Hampshire, just north of Boston, Massachusetts. But I want to share with you the things that are happening in the Philippines. It's a wonderful field. We had the globe positioned so that the Philippines was facing you, although on this globe it's going to appear very, very small. But the Lord has given us some very, very rich opportunities, and I want to share with you some of the things that are happening in the Philippines. Our main ministry, as I've mentioned, is at Faith Academy. But before we get into the actual report, let me just give you some interesting, I hope that you'll find them interesting, facts about the Philippines. Again, even though the Philippines is facing you to a certain degree, would you ever have guessed that there are well over 7,000 islands that make up the Philippines? About of those 7,000 islands, only about 700 of them have people living on them. And if you take all of the islands and put them together, the comparative land size would be slightly larger than that of the state of Arizona. The climate of the Philippines is referred to as being a tropical marine climate. They have basically two seasons, from November to April, of which they're just coming now into the tail end of it, would be considered the dry season, and that's when it is not only dry, but it's also the time when we experience the most heat. And then from May to October, and it's just around the corner, and we all look forward to what we call the wet season, where it's still pretty warm, but we're ever so grateful for the rains that bring at least a temporary relief to the climate. Now, being someone who has been born and raised in Buffalo, New York, you might imagine that the climate is a real challenge to me. How we'd love to see a snowstorm. Boy, driving down from Massachusetts to New Hampshire yesterday in a pretty good snowstorm, I was saying to Mary, we don't often see this, and it was just a delight. So if you've had what you have felt to have been an undue winter, it's because I've been praying for snow. The country is also in what is referred to as the Ring of Fire or Rim of Fire, the Pacific Rim of Fire, indicating that it does have its share of natural hazards. It is in a typhoon belt, and usually the country will have anywhere from 15 to 19 typhoons enter what the weather people would say the Philippine area of responsibility. And it's not unusual to have three or four of those really develop and affect us where we are right there in Manila. You have been hearing about in the news of recent some of the active volcanoes, and some of those have now been erupting. The most recent one is about an 8-hour to 10-hour drive from Manila south, Mount Mayon. It's a beautifully formed volcanic peak. And if you've ever seen pictures of volcanic mountains, this one is almost perfectly symmetrical. But it's a very active volcano, and it has been erupting. It has been erupting both the gray ash as well as lava. Now, because it is an active volcano, many people know that when it starts to rumble, they need to vacate. So it usually is not one that brings human destruction, but it does bring agricultural destruction as the volcano continues to flow. Now, the other one that has been making news is much more closer to Faith Academy. That is the Taal volcano. In fact, every third year, the middle school at Faith Academy will spend about a week in outdoor education. And that's one of the sites that they go to. Normally, it's dormant and doesn't erupt or even show signs of erupting, but this year it did, and it has created a little bit of concern for those living near to Faith Academy. Now, on those 700 islands of where people live, the Philippines has a population in excess of 77 million people. And when you try to think of 77 million people crammed into the land size mass of the state, or near to the state of Arizona, and if you've conjured in your mind a very high population density, that is true. There are many, many people living in a fairly small land area. In terms of religion, the Philippines is Asia's only Christian country. And with that, about 83% of the population is Roman Catholic. About 9% Protestant, 5% Muslim, and Buddhists and other religions make up the other 3%. In terms of its economy, the Philippines is noted for its mixture of agriculture and light industry. In terms of light industry, textiles plays an important role, as well as some of the small electronics assembly many of the components that we find in our automobiles, in our computers, cell phones, and things like that have been assembled there in the Philippines. In terms of agriculture, it's noted for its rice and coconuts, pineapples. The country presently is being led by Joseph Estrada. He was the vice president of the recent outgoing president, Fidel Ramos. As a person, Joseph Estrada was a movie star, and in the Philippines, movies play an important role. And as a movie star, this particular man always had the role of being a crusader for the poor. So that when it came time for elections, people didn't forget his role in the movies, and because he was such a crusader for the poor, and predominantly the Philippines is a poor nation, you can see how he was elected president. But you know, this morning we're thankful that the Philippines as a country, as a nation, as a government is very friendly toward the missionaries and the missionary efforts. It's a very open country, and as many have felt the call to come and minister in the Philippines, both from an evangelical point of view, we need to recognize, too, that as a missionary-friendly country, it's missionary-friendly to cults like Jehovah's Witness and Mormons. And they're very zealous for their spread of what they call the good news. We know it's not the good news, but nevertheless, many find satisfaction in following these cultic practices. And that's something that we want to remember in prayer as we think of the missionary effort. As open as it is, and as much as we are embraced by the country, know that others are also trying to win their support. One of the things that has changed in the last few years is that the opportunity to be in the country in terms of being approved for visas has found support and favor with the government. Instead of being granted one-year visas, we're able to get multi-year visas, and we're thankful, certainly thankful for that. As I mentioned before, the ministry that the Lord has had us involved in is that of Faith Academy. It's a school for the children of missionaries located in the capital city of Manila, actually just on the outskirts of the city. And the school had its beginnings in 1957 as missionary parents came together and grappled with the question, if the Lord has called us to serve in this country, how are we going to ensure that our young people are going to get an adequate education? And as these parents grappled with that question, it led to the formation of what Faith Academy is today. Back in 1957, it opened its doors to 48 young people in kindergarten to grade 8 and 2 full-time staff members. This year, 43 years later, when Faith Academy opened its doors, it opened its doors to 615 young people and over 80 that make up the full-time staff. So it's a real privilege for us to be involved in a tremendous ministry, and you can see that over the period of time how the Lord has enriched and has blessed the efforts of that school. The name Faith Academy is certainly no mistake, for every aspect of the school operates on a principle firmly rooted and based in faith. We look to the Lord for every thing that the school would ever need to operate on. Each missionary that comes to serve on staff is indeed a missionary looking to the Lord for that financial support, because the school does not pay a salary to any of its teaching staff. We do have about 60 Filipino nationals on staff, and they become part of our operations budget, but each professional teacher that composes our staff are missionaries, just like those who we serve, and look to the Lord for their financial support. It is the largest school of its type in the world. It's the largest school for the children of missionaries. There are many schools like Faith Academy scattered around the world, but one of the unique features and distinctives of the school is that its constituency, that is, the young people, are all children of missionaries, except for maybe 5 or 6 in any given school year. The board of trustees, which is made up and composed of missionary parents allows us up to 15% to be non-missionary young people. But we have our hands full just satisfying the needs of the children of missionaries, that quite often we don't have room beyond those who are children of missionaries. What is the goal of the school? Well, back in 1957, when it came to grapple with the question about a quality education, that really is one of the prime goals, is to provide a good quality education so that when young people graduate from the school, or whenever they are called away from the field and go to another country or go to their home country, at least they feel like they can be absorbed into the educational system of that country. But you know, that's not the only goal of the school. One of the other primary goals, and one that certainly I hold near and dear, is that every young person who attends that school will grow in their walk and in their relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. Why does the school exist? Well, it's there to help support the spread of the gospel in Southeast Asia by providing a quality education for the children of missionaries. Well, who uses the school, you might be asking? There are well over 100 different mission agencies, evangelical mission agencies, representing more than 350 families who utilize the services of the school. About 20% of the young people who attend the school would be ones who would be boarding at the school, and the rest all commute within a distance from the school. They live in the local area. And I guess when you think about that, the capital city of Manila, with more than 12 million people, you can see that there's even a great ministry in the capital city there, with so many people living in that local area. One of the co-workers that I have come to know and love and appreciate at Faith Academy, and has been there for many years, more than 30 years. You may know him, Steve and Dottie St. Clair. For many years was involved in the ministry at Faith Academy in Manila, but of a more recent nature, we have asked him to be the lead teacher at a small branch school about 600 miles from Manila, in a place called Davao City. And Steve and Dottie are involved in Faith Academy Davao. It's a small school, satisfying grades kindergarten through grade 8, and we are grateful for his leadership. We dearly miss him in Manila. He was a favorite teacher in Manila, and now he's becoming a favorite teacher there in Faith Academy Davao on the island of Mindanao. So that gives you just a brief overview of the ministry at Faith Academy. But I want you to be aware that there are many, many other things happening in the Philippines. And I want to provide us with just a brief overview in the time that remains this morning. One of the big ministries is Bible School. It's located at a campsite in Malolos. It's just north of Manila. And that is a school that convenes for about 9 weeks. It's an intensive study geared to train Filipino nationals. Any given year, it would not be uncommon to have 30 to 40 students. And normally the school would run in the month of July and August. But this last year, they found that the timing just wasn't good. The young people who were involved in the training just didn't seem to be responsive. And that was probably due to the rains and the floods that came during that time of year. So the decision was made to move the timing of Bible school to begin in January. So they're just in the midst. In fact, they might even be finishing up their 9-week study for this year. Dave Harvey, one of the commended missionaries from New Zealand with the assemblies there, heads that up. He, along with other Filipino leaders, train these young people. And it's a great work that goes on at the Malolos campsite, called the Emmaus Bible School. Another great ministry that has had a tremendous impact over the years is Bible School of the Air. It's a radio ministry that was started 50 years ago by Cyril Brooks. In fact, this is the 50th anniversary. It's being celebrated this month. Ken Brooks, the brother to Lynn, has just recently left the United States to be part of that celebration, that great thing that the Lord has blessed that ministry with. And they will be celebrating this month the 50th anniversary of Bible School of the Air. Part of the ministry of Bible School of the Air also involves the execution and the publishing of Emmaus Bible courses. And over the years, there has been more than 2 million enrollees with that effort. Rose Brooks continues to carry on the work. She's helped by 2 full-time personnel in the office there. And they process the courses, they correct, they grade, they reply, they prepare certificates. And that's a great work. You might remember Rose Brooks in your prayers. She has been dealing with a bout of pneumonia that has put her in hospital for a time. We understand that she's out of hospital, but there's one who doesn't know how to take it easy. And she is quite ambitious for the work that is being done there, and we trust that the Lord would raise her to a good sense of health and strength in the days that lie ahead. The basketball ministry outreach often uses Bible School of the Air follow-up material. And I mention this briefly because I was part of a basketball ministry team a couple of summers ago. Now, I know my stature is one that would say, oh, you must be a basketball player. But, folks, I can hardly dribble a ball. I can hardly shoot with any kind of accuracy. But because my son, who is a good basketball player, was coming out to be part of this ministry, I felt, you know, if I'm going to spend some time with him, I better be part of this effort. And so for 11 days, we had 22 games. And we went from town to town. And it was a great opportunity. It was a fun thing to do, but I'm no basketball player. And in all of those games, I only scored 11 points. That's not very much. But the unique feature of basketball ministry is that basketball is a tool that is used to as an evangelistic kind of thing. And you can get into any town, virtually any town, with just a few days' notice by going to the town leaders and say, look, we've got a team of Americans coming to play basketball. Can you get a team together? And with that, they put the word out, they gather a team, they have their practice, they get their uniforms, and the whole town knows that at such and such a day, at such and such a time, there's going to be a basketball game. And it's not unusual to have anywhere from 1,000 to 4,000 people come and see this basketball game. But you know, at halftime, that's when we pull back a little bit, and we put on a little evangelistic kind of program. And with that, the invitation goes out that if you want to receive a free course, and this is where Bible School of the Air comes in, we'll fill out this little brochure, and we'll make sure that you get a copy of one of the Emmaus Bible courses. And that's probably where I was best. During third quarter, when the game was going on, I would go and collect the filled-in brochures. And during that time, we had well over 2,000 people fill out these little coupons requesting information and the opportunity to be part of this Bible course. It really is a tremendous thing, and it's just neat that an assembly outreach like Bible School of the Air combines with other mission groups that bring in basketball teams to get the sound of the gospel into the hands of Filipinos. Bible School of the Air has also been asked to participate by being the reply and follow-up center for a nationwide evangelistic outreach program that's tied in with the Sydney Olympics that's going to happen later on this year. It's a 16-month commitment, and Bible School of the Air has committed to that, and they're anticipating 250,000 responses. So let's remember to uphold them in prayer. Certainly there's going to be some costs involved as we think of the things that are going to be printed and mailing, security. There's all concerns that are part of the ministry that they're committing to. In terms of the assemblies, the growth has slowed, but that is good news in a manner of speaking, because it allows for more effective work with the assemblies that have already been established to grow and really allow those roots to take hold. Frequently, we're receiving reports concerning new believers and those who are felt exercised to be baptized. There are about 160 assemblies on five islands. There's about 60 national workers. There are assemblies who are working toward saving money so that they can buy land to put up their own assembly buildings. There's a heavy demand. The site that Bible School uses in Malolos was established in 1974, and that for the longest time was the only campsite. Recently, two new campsites have been established. There's been no permanent buildings put up, but there certainly is the goal to develop these two new campsites so that the camp work will thrive not only on Luzon, the main island, but in other islands as well. We all know that the camp work is a great evangelistic outreach for young people. And we want to make you aware that the camp program in the Philippines is a great opportunity. The camp season is convened during the months of May and June. I should say April and May. June is educational month. April and May are the times when Philippine camps are in session. One of the auxiliary duties that David Harvey has is the outreach of Radio Bible Class. They're the ones that produce Our Daily Bread. Our Daily Bread is now available in the Philippines. And Dave Harvey is one of the representatives ensuring that that is happening. Close to 600,000 Our Daily Breads were finished, ready for distribution for this year, which began, of course, in January. This year's Our Daily Bread was our last year here in the United States Daily Bread. So they're working a year behind, but that's because they want to take the scripts and then translate them into the languages appropriate for the people. Another interesting ministry that is tied in with some of the local assemblies is that of a kindergarten ministry, where the local assembly convenes a kindergarten for the youngsters in that local neighborhood. It again becomes a tremendous outreach tool for that local neighborhood, because parents feel like when they see their young people being honored, they're going to come out and they're going to watch and see what happens, and they take that time to share the gospel. We get reports where many will come, many who are unbelievers, but have opportunity to hear a clear gospel message. And then as you review your assembly missionary prayer handbook, you'll notice the many who are serving there in the Philippines can enjoy TARDIS fee, have returned after a period of being away for 4 years. In fact, they're staying in our home in the Philippines during this year, although it looks like there may be some things that bring them back to the United States. They have been involved in Bible studies and a building project that will help provide a small 8x12 concrete hollow block home for many there in Cogeo where they are ministering. Sharon Agnew comes from the assemblies in Ontario, has a ministry to pregnant and unwed mothers. She is also in fellowship at Community Christian Church, one of the assemblies near to Faith Academy, involved in Sunday school and ladies' work. Rose Brooks is the office manager at Bible School of the Air, but she's also involved at the local assembly San Juan, especially in ladies' ministries. Dave and Ruth Harvey, 30 years in the Philippines, responsible for five assemblies. Ruth Harvey serves on the board at Faith Academy and is the assembly's representative on that board. Dr. Dave and Shelley Johnson are involved in a church planting ministry north of Manila. David is also a doctor of dentistry, and helps with some of the medical and dental evangelistic outreaches. They have two children, Grace and Luke. Sonia Martinez, from Ontario, is in a counseling ministry and from time to time is able to help Sharon Agnew in her ministry to pregnant and unwed mothers. Craig Sutherland, for years, was involved in the work in the Philippines and still does by making frequent trips from the United States. And he's involved in some of the work centered around getting the Bible into a language that those on Palawan can understand. And then Dana and Kelly Danielson, the grandson of Maisie and Sandy Sutherland, are home on furlough this year, but they're involved in a new work that is even more remote than where they presently are in Palawan, and it's right around some intense Muslim areas there on that island. So as we have been coming together this morning and been challenged with our Godward privileges and responsibilities, I say a hearty amen to the one that was reminded to us about prayer. And we do value your prayers. We want to thank you for praying with us and for us. It's a privilege, it's a responsibility, and we've been reminded that prayer is hard work. And it's a discipline, isn't it? We covet your prayers and the work of the Philippines for the opportunity of the school to exist, the need for teachers year by year. One of our goals is to try and find some who would come back or come to the Philippines and be a part of the Ministry of Faith Academy and teaching young people there in a school setting. There's great missionary work to be in prayer about for the spread of the gospel, the growth in the assemblies, the camp work, the Bible school of the air, and the Bible school to help train those who know and love the Lord. So thank you for your prayers, and thank you for the opportunity to share about some of the things that are happening in the Philippines.